Encore with Claire O'Brien, arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone, imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. Panto is striking up again in the Midlands. It's that time of year, isn't it? And is it possible to write music about the COVID pandemic and after the COVID pandemic? Well, we'll find out about that later on the programme. You're very welcome to Encore on Midlands 103, and you're listening to the Midlands' only dedicated arts show, the only one bringing you the absolute best of what's happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath every single Thursday night between 7 and 8 o'clock. Drop me a line, please do, to encore@midlands103.com. I'd love to hear from you. And tonight, if you're near your phone, you can drop me a message on the Lamb Brothers Midlands 103 text line, which is 083 3010 103. We have on the programme tonight, as I said, Panto time, and it is really getting very exciting across the Midlands. First of all, we have in County Westmeath in Athlone, we'll be hearing a little bit very shortly from John McGlynn, who is Mother Goose in the Mother Goose Panto, which was running last weekend and will run again this weekend. And it is, by all accounts, brilliant and hilarious. No surprise at all there. And we'll also be chatting to Christy Bannon, who is involved with Port Laois Panto Group, because next weekend they are bringing their play, their performance, and it has the curious title of Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry. So you make of that what you will. Christy will tell us a little bit about it later on. I'll also be chatting to singer-songwriter, the wonderful, terrific KTG, or Katie Gallagher. She is back in the saddle after COVID. And some people were really productive during that time and found it was really easy to write and enjoyed writing music at the time. She found it particularly hard, but she's, as I said, back in the saddle again. And I'll be looking forward to chatting to her a little bit later on. And actually, before we chat to her, we're going to start the show tonight with one of her songs, and hopefully we'll hear another one a little later on. But this first one from Katie Gallagher is called Do It Right. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. What a song, what a voice. That is KTG, or Katie Gallagher, and I'll be chatting to her a little bit later on in the programme. 2023, if you're going to make a resolution, let it be the year that you support your local arts centre so that we can hold on to them for as long as we possibly can. Pat and Faye Short are in Dunamase tomorrow night, and on Saturday, and that's it, it's during the day, Nora Day is starting a 6-week creative writing course, and you'll find all the details for both on dunamase.ie. Further north, in the Mullingar Arts Centre, they are presenting Mullingar Voices this weekend. That's Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And it's a selection of songs by local musicians given a choral treatment. It features, listen to this, 11 Westmeath schools, the Arts Centre Gospel Choir and a variety of well-known local musicians. And they will perform familiar tunes, songs that you will know from Joe Dolan, from the Academic, from the Blizzards, from Niall Horan and more. And all the details there are on mullingararts.ie. In Offaly, we're still awaiting the opening of Tullamore's Arts Centre later on, but in the meantime, Burr is bringing the big movies to the screen at the theatre there. Every Thursday night at 8, you can catch what is really some terrific cinema. And I see Dunamase has a similar programme running as well. But this Thursday night, Charlotte Rampling stars in Juniper. So you can catch that at 8 o'clock this evening. She's such a superb actor, isn't she? She is playing an alcoholic, wheelchair-bound grandmother, and her teenage grandson, Sam, who is played by George Ferrier, comes home to stay with her, and the action that happens happens against a really stunning New Zealand backdrop. So that's at 8 o'clock tonight. Burrtheatre.com has all of the details there. And also, I wanted to let you know, of course, about Mother Goose, which is on in the Dean Crowe Arts Centre in Athlone. But we'll be talking to Mother Goose, him herself. Fantastic link to come straight from the Dean Crowe Arts Centre all the way to the Dean Crowe Theatre and Mother Goose. Because I am welcoming on the line John McGlynn, also known as moonlighting as Mother Goose. John, you're very welcome to Encore.
Good evening, Claire. Thanks a million for having me on.
Not at all. It's a question I never thought I would ask on the programme, but I'm prompted by the promo for the panto. Will Mother Goose become the next Kate Moss?
Well, do you know what, Claire? Many people have asked that because we're very similar in our appearance and our fashion sense, as people who will come to the panto will see straight away. We have serious similarities. But I think we might give it a pass for a little while and leave Kate where she is on her own.
Talk to me. You're somebody that I'm very familiar with from Athlone Little Theatre. But any stage in Athlone, you will pull on the frock or pull on the costume and you'll get up and tell us about the role that you play as Mother Goose and how that fits into the whole panto.
Well, as you said, the Little Theatre is a natural home for me and I love it very much. But the Dean Crow is something similar. And between musicals and pantos, panto is one of those art formats where you get to have a little bit of fun and it's not just as pressurised as doing a dramatic play or whatever. Mm. But so pantos are fantastic fun and we've lots of kids on stage as well. And this year, as you said, we are doing the panto Mother Goose. And I'm lucky enough to be putting on the frock, as you say, and playing the part of Mother Goose, who is a fantastic lady, I have to say. Somewhat questionable in some of her decisions, but she always gets it right in the end. But she's the lady who runs Nurseryland as such, in that she writes puts all the nursery rhymes into books and sells the books, etc. And she has people working for her like Jack and Jill and Mary, quite contrary, and Silly Simon. So she has lots of lovely Nurseryland characters working for her. Jack is actually her son, by the way. He's Jack Goose. And then we have Mayor Hickory, who's the mayor of Nurseryland. But then we have some baddies as well. It wouldn't be a panto some nasty people. So we have the wonderful Joe Steiner and Petrova Mulvey playing Demon Darkheart and his sidekick witch, Maligna.
Demon Darkheart. Now, there is a name. Tell me how Demon Darkheart lives up to that name.
Can I tell you, he literally epitomises that name. You should see this particular demon in all his glory. He's red-faced. He's red from top to bottom. His costume is completely red. He's red-faced. He has horns. He has a tail. He is an amazing baddie, I have to say.
Brilliant.
And the extremely talented Joe Steiner is amazing in the role. Thanks be to God. We're lucky to have people of his talent on stage beside us.
Well, between the Dark Hearts and the Kate Mosses, it's all going on.
Well, some people would say Kate Moss will always beat out Demon Darkheart. And I think, as we say in the script itself, after 57 pages, we're fairly well guaranteed to have a happy ending. But you'd never know.
No. What's the gist of the story? What's the narrative that runs through it?
Well, let's just say we have the good fairy of inflation, played by Mike Mulligan. So it's quite topical, as you know, with a lot of inflation and a cost of living crisis, etc.
Yeah.
So things are, yes, we do. You couldn't let that one go, yes, we do. Let's just say that Nurseryland is going through a mini recession and Mother Goose's shop is under a little bit of pressure and everyone has to keep happy. And if everyone's happy, Demon Darkheart can't leave his castle. He's stuck in his castle because our happiness keeps him up there. He can't leave. However, because of the recession, let's just say our happiness dips a little bit and he sees an opportunity and he tries to take that opportunity to control Nurseryland. So Mother Goose and her trusty son, Jack, and his beautiful girlfriend, Jill, along with Silly Simon and Mary, quite contrary, we have to battle against him to make sure he doesn't win the power in Nurseryland.
Okay.
So far, last weekend we had four shows and it worked out quite well for Mother Goose and Nurseryland.
Happy days.
But who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. And tell me about the audiences. How wonderful is it to have small kids back in audiences watching panto? Because I imagine that there's a whole new crew of kids there who have never seen it before.
Absolutely. You know, panto is one of those things. It's the most interactive kind of theatre you'll ever get to have. And to see little children and to hear the reactions. Well, let's just say when Mother Goose makes a bad decision, they're very quick to tell her. And they can scream from the back of the Dean Crow Theatre, which is not an easy thing to do, and get their message across. So we could have 400 people in the audience and 200 of them are children and they're extremely noisy. And it's wonderful to the extent that sometimes your lines don't even get heard. And that's even better again.
Oh, it just makes you feel like a beetle, doesn't it?
Maybe. Maybe one that you squash rather than listen to on the radio. But no, the kids are fantastic. The audiences last weekend were brilliant, I have to say. And they love... And I forgot to mention, we have a beautiful goose on stage called Prissy. Now, Prissy is Mother Goose's pet goose, and she's amazing. So the kids love Prissy, and she's a real hit. After the show, when we come down to say hello to the kids, Prissy is the star of the show, definitely.
Tell me more about Prissy. Where did Prissy appear out of?
Prissy, let's just say she came up here from Cork a couple of weeks ago, and she's now living in nursery land with Mother Goose. And she's Mother Goose's pet and favourite child, we'll call it. She's like a member of the family. And she's quite animated, we'll put her that way. She's quite animated and makes a big impact on everybody.
I know that you are on stage again this weekend. So it's Friday night, two shows on Saturday, the matinee, of course, and then the evening show, and again on Sunday. It's nearly sold out. A very small number of tickets left, but there are
a few handful of tickets left for each show. So if anyone wants to make a lastminute.com booking, they can just go online onto the www.deancrowtheatre website, or just ring up, and there's a handful of tickets left for each show. But from our point of view, it's always better. The more bums on seats, the better the reaction, and the better the reaction, the more enjoyable it is for everyone.
Yeah. Talk to me about the work that you've been doing with Corey, and the pulling, the Corey Kilduff, who's directing, and the pulling of all those bits and pieces together. It must be such a thrill to be back properly doing Panto again.
Oh, absolutely.
All of you as a crew.
Corey Kilduff, she's a fantastic director. I've known her since she was in nappies, and she'll kill me for saying that. But she's turned into one of the most wonderful directors you could ask for. She's very empathetic. She has a fantastic eye. And she makes sure that everything was done, to the little details are looked after. Along with her, a definite sidekick, Claudia O'Sullivan, who's our choreographer, who does fantastic work as well. And let's just say some of us more rhythmically challenged people, she really has to get her P's and Q's right. But they do a lot of work with the kids as well. We have a fantastic children's course. We have a children's course, a kiddies course, a teen course, and we call them an adult course, the older teenagers. So we have well over 100 children on stage. So it's fantastic for them as well, and it makes the atmosphere around the place fantastic too.
Tell me what the highlight is, the moment that you really, really love, because I think anybody who's ever on stage, particularly in a show like this, the moment that you're really excited about, that you know is going to bring a big thrill to the audience, or that you get a particular kick out of. What is that moment for you?
Well, I have to say, in this particular panto, Mother Goose makes a very nice entrance, and she has a lot of chat with the assembled audience on making her entrance. And I have been thoroughly enjoying that, because let's just say, when I see a familiar face, Mother Goose can be quite critical, and she likes to pass comment about a particular face if she sees one.
Does she know?
Or many faces. Oh, she does. She'd be a very past remarkable sort of character. So she has a lot of fun with that. Let's just say that. Put it this way, if Mother Goose knows particular people in the audience, they better watch out.
It sounds like I was thinking earlier on when you mentioned the negativity. It sounds a bit like the clausometer in Elf, and Santa's sleigh. And now you're bringing the naughty and the nice into it as well. It feels very
Absolutely.
Seasonal. It does keep the Christmas feeling going, doesn't it, Panto?
It does indeed. If you see the faces of, even look at Panto is one of those things, as I said, the kids love it. Adults love it too, because every Panto is written and with both children and adults in mind. There are a lot of jokes that the kids won't get, but the parents will get. And you can see their reaction, and it's fantastic. As I said, it's one of those things where you can go along with your kids, like going to the cinema and picking a particular movie. You can go to the theatre, watch a panto, adults, children alike, and come out both laughing, maybe for different reasons, but both laughing and after having a really good time.
Okay, well, if Mother Goose was here now on the phone, and she was going to encourage people to come along to the Dean Crow Theatre tomorrow, either of the shows on Saturday or on Sunday, in her bowedness and her skinniness and her, maybe we'll say, the limited dancing skills, what would she be saying to the audience?
Well, hang on, I'll just see if I can catch her here now, one second. Just give me a second here. Oh, here she is now. How are you, boys and girls? Will you make sure now to be at the Dean Crow Theatre tomorrow night at 7:30. Don't be coming at 7:31 because that's too late. And then Saturday at 2 o'clock and again at 7:30. And again on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And you'll have great fun because Mother Goose is great fun and everyone enjoys it.
John McGlynn, you're a star. Thank you for talking to us this evening on...
No problem, Claire. And thanks a million for having me on.
Not at all. It has been an absolute pleasure. And all the details for that are on the Dean Crowe website. Well, that is a pretty famous song, but I want you to imagine it. Sung by a cast of kids and with the lyrics changed ever so slightly so that it fits in with, get this, Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry. Because which is, you know, we have a wonderful traditional panto that we're having up in Athlone with Mother Goose. But Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry is a whole new world of theatricality. And joining me on the line to tell me about Portlaoise Panto Group's performance, which is happening next weekend and for the following week, is Christy Bannon. Christy, you're howled around by wind there in Portlaoise.
Yes, it sounds like it's a fairly spooky scene in the panto rehearsals. Only I've slipped away upstairs here in the Holy Family Senior School. Rehearsals are ongoing downstairs. I see young ladies in their mid-40s and 30s and everything getting into their costumes downstairs, checking them all out. And the kids' chorus are in working with the choreographer. And James is out there just smiling and being cool and calm and collected as always. He's our director, producer and writer.
All right. Well, we'll start with you first and we'll come to Seamus then. But you have been involved with Portlaoise Panto Group since you were a wee fella in short pants.
Well, yes. Well, there's a very strong history of pantomime in Portlaoise. I think the first one might have been in 1954. And it was Dick Whittington and his cat and with the Portlaoise, it was actually the Worsted Mill, Irish Worsted Mills. It was the staff in the Worsted Mills that put on the show. My own grandfather was the dame, and then my aunt, my grand-aunt Julia was Dick Whittington, and then another cousin of Julia and my granny, Lena White, she was Lena Connolly, she would have been known by afterwards. Mm. She was the leading lady, and there was many others. Sean O'Reilly, who was another cousin, and who I managed to grace the stage with myself, he was also in it. And believe it or not, in the cast this year, Sinbad is a grand nephew of Sean O'Reilly, and he'd be related to Lena as well. And Lena's own granddaughter is in the ladies' chorus as well. And my own daughter is in the chorus, in the kids' chorus as well. So it kind of passes down through the generations and people have that bug. But this current iteration of Portlaoise Pantomime Group started in 1985. And their first show was Old King Cole. And my own father was in Old King Cole. He played Leroy Brown.
Bad Leroy Brown.
That's him. But you know, and it's been carrying on, and we actually have back in the society. JT Cahalan is the current treasurer here, mm-hmm. and he was on stage last year, but he was the dame in the first batch of pantos, and Barry Larkin was also in the show, and he played the dame once or twice too, and Barry is actually back on the stage this year with us again. So, you know, people, you know, they can never get away from it because you get that bug.
And it's the panto family, isn't it, really?
Oh, that's it. I mean, you know, I met my, as I call her, the future ex-wife, the current Mrs. Bannon. I met her backstage in, I think, around 99, 2000, maybe. Back in 2000, and the show was on 2001.
Okay. So that's...
When I happened to meet her. For her sins.
Was this during rehearsals? It was, obviously.
It wasn't until the very end because the principals are learning their lines and running the scenes and the choruses are practicing their dances and songs and then as you get closer to the week of the show, you start bringing everything together and building the show. So you have the, you know, the one-liners coming in and you have the principals doing it and the chorus know when they're coming in, getting their cues and everything just has to fit
together
seamlessly.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't fit seamlessly, don't worry, it'll probably look funny.
You'll pull it all together somehow. You mentioned some traditional names, Old King Cole, and we had you mentioned Dick Whittington as Cat. Very traditional kinds of titles for Panto. But Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry is a brand new story for me. Tell me what they are doing
and
in Portlaoise.
Last year's story was just the strange, written by the same man. Last year's story was Rapunzel and the winning lotto ticket.
Yes, that's right. So tell us about Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry.
Well, Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry. So Sinbad and his mother are living in Baghdad. And poor old Sinbad's mummy, they're hard up and having a lot of money, and they're going off on their travels to go back to Ireland. And it turns out that a ring that Sinbad's mummy has been wearing is the Ring of Kerry. So that ties it back in. And so you have the usual hijinks of being chased back and forth. And you know, like, you don't want to give away the full plot line. But you've got you'll always have the, you know, the comedy couple. You'll have the few gormless idiots who wander around and get everything wrong. You'll have the baddie. You'll always have the goodie. Yeah. That's what people come back for. They come back for these traditional shows where it's a bit of fun. There's physical comedy and, you know, normal stuff for the kids. There'll always be a little bit there now that might go over the children's heads, which is great, especially during the mat day when you can see the adults just jiggling away in the seats. But it's a great story. It's written by Seamus Carroll. Now Seamus will be well known to people in the Midlands.
Okay.
He's a Tullamore man, but he would have starred with Tullamore Musical Society, Clara Music Society, and Portlaoise as well. So he's cut his teeth across the stage. He would have been backstage with Clara Musical Society for many number of years. And, you know, then he came backstage with the Panto and Portlaoise because he wanted to understand how Panto works, just to get a feel for it, because he had a couple of ideas. And he said, look, I'd like to write a script. So he came down for a year or two, saw how stuff worked, and then went off, got his ideas for a script, put them together, met up with a few people, asked them questions, asked what they thought of this, you know, got some advice for them, went back, rewrote it, and then produced a fantastic script last year. And so, you know, it was so good last year, the committee immediately asked him, look, will you come back, write another script? And he's written another show again this year, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Is it? Fantastic. I mean, you were saying that we listened to Cameron Chameleon there at the head of this piece, and you mentioned that he had rewritten the lyrics of that for the kids.
Yes, he's rewritten the lyrics on a couple of songs and stuff, and they go down really, really well. And it's as to see which ones he gets. Of course, you see, when I was reading the script, I was reading a first rev of it.
Yeah.
And so the second version now that's been fully vetted and everything now, that's tightly under wraps. And even my own daughter was given out to me, that you can't be saying that. I was admonished in the car on our way down here to rehearsals.
There you go.
You told about songs were left out, Annie. You can't be doing that. But, you know, like, there's stuff there for kids and adults.
Yeah.
And that's where you have families coming back year on year to see the show.
Yeah.
But you have people in the show coming back year on year. We've got...
I wanted to ask you that about the cast, because there's some well-known faces.
There is. Like, we've got... Johnny Keyes is back as the Dame. He was away for a couple of years, hadn't been in the show. And so he came back and auditioned this year and got the part. And he is joined by his son, is Jason Carroll. And Jason, his grandfather was Nick Riley, who would have been known to many of the local musical and panto fans. Michael O'Reilly and Sean O'Reilly were two brothers.
Okay.
And they starred in many, many musicals and pantos all down through the years. I grew up across the road from Sean, and Nick's wife, Teresa, was from the same estate as me. And her younger sister, Gillian, is in the show. And she was in it back in, I hate to say back in the 80s. She must have been very, very young back then. But she's still
in arms.
And dancing and singing and doing her best. And, you know, you've actually got people now in the adult chorus and as principals on the stage, who were in the show as transition year students and as in a junior chorus back in the 90s,
which is wonderful. It's so important, isn't it?
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Mullinoig or the Struggling Cheat, and it really rings true. If you give them a chance to get on the stage and enjoy that little bit of a buzz, and it could be a quiet little child who, you know, sits off and does draw a little thing, and then when they get out and they're on stage in front of an audience and they start to shine.
They surely
and
do.
And it gives them confidence to carry on through life. And that's why we've got so many who always come back. I mean, I won't take all of the credit, but a young Robert Sheehan, who many people in Hollywood might even know, he cut his teeth many years ago in Red Riding Hood.
That's right.
As a little dwarf on the stage with another group of lads. You know, so it could have been Snow White. There was a whole load of them.
Yeah.
And he's actually, I think he was... No, I think you see, that's the beauty of pantos. They all can mash together. And Snow White doesn't have to be the only one who has seven dwarfs.
No, absolutely not. No, no.
And you can just change the script. I know 1 year, well, actually 2 years in a row, I fit the same character.
But in different performances.
From one into the next.
Brilliant, brilliant.
But that's the joy of it.
That is
and, like,
the joy
you know,
of it, yeah.
There's people, you know, you'll have people will be asking you, in the month leading up to Christmas, oh, the panto must be starting soon.
Absolutely.
And they're looking forward to it. And oh,
they
who's
are,
in it this year? Oh, God, it's great. And, like, you know, they're waiting till the 1st of December when the tickets go on sale.
And do you have a few tickets left now, or is it? Because I know it's one that sells out fairly well, same as we were saying in Athlone. You're running from Saturday the 21st, which is Saturday
the
week.
The 21st till the 28th.
Till the 28th. So, is there an odd ticket left?
There's some. Yes,
yeah.
And if you go online, if you go onto dunamace.ie, onto their website, and you just go into the show, you can actually pick the days and then have a look and see what tickets are left.
Yeah.
Now, there are some that aren't many left. I was just, actually, the last time I looked was, would have been the end of last week,
yeah.
And there was anything from 100 and something tickets for some of the weeknight shows to, I believe there was only 8 tickets for one of the matinees left.
Okay, so there's matinees,
you know,
on...
So that's a, yeah.
Both Saturdays and on the Sunday. So the 21st, 22nd and on the 28th. Christy, thanks a million for talking to us on the programme. It sounds like you're having a ball. They're barely managing, I'd say, without you downstairs.
Oh,
if you can get away from the howling wind and get back to the gig. They'll be delighted to have you back.
Further away from the stage that I can be.
I doubt that very much. I doubt that very much. But Christy Ballin, yeah. PRO of Portlaoise Panto Group, and your show, Sinbad and the Ring of Kerry, is on next weekend, Saturday the 21st to Saturday the 28th on dunamace.ie. And that is next weekend and this weekend. You can head all the way to Athlone for their Mother Goose. That is Hello Honey from KTG, or Katie Gallagher, Ballymahan's finest. And Katie is on the line. It is great to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you. We played earlier on the programme. This is Hello Honey, which is the most recent single. But earlier on, at the start of the show, we had Do It Right, and you said it's your favourite. Tell us why it's your favourite.
It actually is, yeah. I don't know why it's my favourite out of all of them, but it's just the one that I always love playing, because I just go pure mad on the poor guitar. I think it gets a bit of a shock when I start playing I really enjoy it.
I saw a Rhythm and Roots video of you on YouTube, I think, performing it acoustically, and it's just when you listen to the single version, and the production is just so fantastic.
The boys are brilliant. I'm so blessed to be with Beardfire, who produced it. They're just amazing. They're brilliant.
Yeah. So tell us about Hello Honey. Where did that come from?
I was thinking about it there today. It was the only song I actually wrote during the lockdown period. And as always, not to sound stereotypical, about love. And I think, to be honest, like I do with my other songs, I kind of wrote it I wrote it before the situation kind of unfolded. And I don't know why I wrote it before, but it kind of worked as a bit of therapy then when the relationship broke down. It's like, oh, this is nice. Afterwards,
you found lockdown and that whole COVID, the pandemic experience, really difficult and really unproductive.
Talk to me
about that, because some people, I don't know who these terrible people are, but some people did find it. You know, they wrote novels and they entire albums, and it was fantastic for them. It was tougher for you.
Well, I suppose now I realised that I was very lucky during it because I'm a teacher and I kind of like to say I have a kind of Hannah Montana life. Sometimes I'm a teacher by day and then I try and be a musician at night. But no, I was very lucky because I got to continue working online, and of course that really helped get through a lot of the lockdown. But definitely in terms of creativity, because there was so much going on as well, there was nearly too much to even sit down and write. I didn't even know where I was going. Now, in other ways, like I took on new hobbies, I tried to take up a language, but I just felt like it was the thing I was procrastinating the most. And then getting back into gigs, I think this year now is my New Year's resolution to really get back into it properly, like I was, because I did enjoy it. But you know the type where when you leave something off for so long, you forget that you enjoy it until you're doing it. Yeah. So definitely, gigging for me was my favourite thing to do, and it still is. Like, I love the studio time, but it's nothing compared to doing a gig. So I think because I lost out on that, as so many other musicians did, and actors and all the arts really, because we lost out on being able to actually show off the talents
Offnesses, yeah.
Well, I don't know about show off for me.
Yeah, but just being engaging with people and being out in the public space.
Exactly, yeah, because I was going, I was at my first year out teaching from college. So from college, I was gigging at least 3 to 4 times a week. Like, I was out all the time. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like, it was just such a change. It was such a, and myself and Rowan, who is one of the lads in Beardfire, we were saying that we were pure workaholics before this, that it would have to have taken a pandemic to actually stop us.
Yeah.
Because we were just never going to stop. But even then, it was just really hard to get used to it. But again, I was very privileged compared to what a lot of people were dealing with. So I know it sounds a bit silly when you're saying it's tough for a musician. I know it's a sore subject sometimes.
I understand that. But you were back, you were on stage at the Lake House recently and you really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I do. I love. It was a mad night actually last Saturday. I don't know what was in the water there, but we had great crack all together. We were up and dancing and whatever. And I was in during the Christmas. And before this, I was in Central Parks a lot as well.
Okay.
So I'm hoping once now that everything's kicking off again, we can get back into it. But I'm back in the Lake House on the 28th, at the end of this month,
Very good. 28th of January. Yes. So talk to me about the writing. You were saying it's hard to get back into the swing of that, but you're putting yourself in front of the pen and the paper and the guitar all the time.
Yes.
To make it happen.
I think because I'm a music teacher as well, and we're actually currently doing it with the students, we're doing like our CBA project. I won't go into the boring parts of that, but like I'm always telling them, write down something stupid. Just write down anything. It doesn't matter. And I think because I'm forcing myself to write down something every day, we're starting to get there slowly. Like, to be honest, the stuff that I'm writing down now, I wouldn't put outside the door.
But once you get that stuff down, it makes way for the better stuff to come afterwards, doesn't it?
Exactly. Totally. And I definitely, I'm sitting in, especially with Hello Honey as well, actually. It was one of the first songs that I actually had written on the piano first. And now, albeit it was a very basic piano, but it kind of opened up a new avenue for me as well, that I was like, oh, okay, I can go somewhere else, not just the guitar. So it's nice to be able to, when I get bored at one, sit at the other and try and link the two together. So it's becoming exciting again, which I'm delighted to say.
Well, I suppose the other thing about the lockdowns and the pandemic is if you're a musician, you're also missing other people's gigs and you're missing the energy and the inspiration you get from that. How did you manage? Like, what were you listening to? How were you enjoying music over that time?
At the first, I'm a big fan of One Republic, and Ryan Tedder. And Ryan Tedder was doing a podcast around the time at the very, very start of the pandemic. And he was saying that the best way to deal with the unknown is to, like, especially when it comes to music, is to listen to all the stuff that you love to listen to. And I was on a pure no sad music allowed ban. Like, I was like nothing sad, nice and upbeat. And it actually made such a difference in the mornings. But I was definitely trying my best to listen to new things, because I definitely wanted to get back into the world and have, because for me, when it comes to my own music, I don't like to be boxed into a genre. I like to try as much as I possibly can. So the only way I was trying to get those influences in was by listening to it. So we had great time. But I really used the time to connect with other musicians as well, and just to even chat to them and see their process and stuff. So it was brilliant. Like, all the Beardfire gang that we're all of us assigned to Beardfire, like, we all would have chats. Yeah. We'd have our little group chats and stuff. And it actually, it helps so much to learn from other people.
Yeah. So we're just at the very end. Let us know where people can hear your music in the meantime.
So everywhere is the KTG IRE. So if you look in that, you'll see all my social medias. They're all linked at the same name. So thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's such a thrill. It's a pleasure to be talking to you again. And we'll talk to you again soon. And we'll be hearing from you a little bit later on, I think, as we get into April, because I know you're going to be busy doing a bit of Footloose. We'll talk to you about that soon.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay.
For the time.
Not at all. That is KTG, Kate Gallagher, and she's on Spotify. She is everywhere. You can catch her music. That is it from me for this evening. I do believe the great Joe Cooney is in the building and will be here with the best of Irish and American country music after the news at 8 o'clock. I'll be back in this seat again next week and look forward to talking to you then. Take care of yourself. Good night.